Presley with Martin Besser.
On the line this morning, speaking to us out of Mossel Bay, he was on that... He was on that scene or on the site that a horrible thing had happened in George. Got the whole country worried, talking after that building collapsed. Many people still unaccounted for. And Delvin Safers was there. And he was trapped for more than a day. Delvin, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know that you said that you're still feeling it a whole lot. Yes, bye-bye, Sir. Is he okay?
Yeah, because by now, I'm deep. I guess to keep playing, because by better know what's as well as you can.
So just tell everyone, what were you doing there? You're an electrician on site, am I right?
Yes, so we were doing the installation of the electrical on the site.
And where were you at the time of the collapse?
Third building. We were third floor. We were on the third floor, but we were on the third floor at that time.
And what, you spoke about a pole or something moving on a windless day in George. What did you witness just before the collapse?
Actually, nothing. We were just coming back from lunch, went to third floor, had a problem, and then while we were talking, in half a second or so, and then building just collapsed and what I seen, right?
So there was nothing that happened beforehand that gave you the idea that something is not right?
No. Nothing.
And what happened after that?
After the collapse?
Yeah.
Basically, all I saw was darkness. Couldn't see anything that time. So I was just laying there, I think, for like 15 minutes or so, 15 to half an hour. And then somehow I just reached for my phone in my pocket. Just for some light, just to see if it's still working and stuff. So I saw it still working, put on the light, and I just saw all this rubble around me. Also, I had my one colleague here on my feet, and then on top of me, there was just big slab on top of me, and I was like, I won't get out of this thing. That slab was too big.
It must have taken you a moment or two to realize or to try and figure out what has just happened.
Yes. I was just laying there. I think that first half an hour, yeah, because I was stuck. That first half an hour, my one arm was stuck, right arm, and my legs were stuck that time. But I just remained calm, I think. I just remained calm for that first half an hour or so. I just started removing all the rubble around me just to get some space to move. So, yeah, I just took it step by step there. Didn't really panic that first time.
What went through your mind? Did you think maybe it was just a part of the building? Did you understand how you know that was the entire building that collapsed?
No, at first I only thought it was only the one part maybe. But I think that first 2 hours or so I couldn't hear anything, couldn't hear anybody, so I thought maybe it was the whole building, because it was darkness, there was no light anywhere. So I thought afterwards must have been the whole building, because nobody's talking, nobody's screaming for people, you see. So I just thought maybe it's the whole building.
And when did people start making a sound? I mean, when did you start hearing people calling?
I think about 1 hour or so later, I heard one guy just not far from me. I heard him scream. And then I heard another guy also scream, but we couldn't really communicate with each other. But I heard them. I heard two people near me.
I have to ask, when you said you just come back from lunch, how many of your colleagues were with you?
We were five people at that time, but three of them, they went to the first floor to do some work there. And the two of us, we were on top of the third floor, working there on the third floor.
Did you say that there was a friend or a colleague of yours close to you?
Yes, he was in my feet, yeah, but unfortunately, he didn't make it. I think on impact, he passed away, because when I put on my light, that first half an hour, I didn't have light. So I was just laying there. I didn't hear anything, no breathing, no nothing. I didn't hear anything. So when I put on the light, I just saw him there, and I saw that slab on top of his body, and I knew it. Like, he didn't make it.
At what point did you hear the rescue workers?
Just about, I think about 2 hours, About 2 hours later, 2 hours to 2.5 hours later, I heard somebody call, but I couldn't respond. But one of the guys could communicate with them. He could at least tell them, okay, we have 3 guys inside here. And that's how we communicated to him.
So at first, there must have been enormous confusion, then shock, and then the realization sets in. How did you handle it from there?
At first, I was really positive. I mean, I heard the people outside. I heard sirens coming. And even the one guy, his name is Amos, he was communicating with the people outside. So at that time, there was a lot of hope. A lot of hope that time. So we didn't really feel that much pressure. But as time went on, it got difficult and difficult. I mean, after all those hours just laying there in that rubble, you can't really move.
Yes, Delvin, I can just imagine 1 hour, 2 hour, three, four, and then you get closer to 24 hours a day. A day later, what went through your mind as you got closer to that 24-hour mark?
I think the first 20 hours, my phone was still on. The first 20 or so hours, my phone was still on. So I could count the hours. I was laying there counting all the hours, counting the hours. But after a while, my phone died that time. So I didn't really know how many hours went by. So I was just laying there hoping and praying that they will get us out. Because they were busy with one of the guys at that time. So I knew they were not far from me at that time.
And who were you thinking about? Who's at home?
Yeah, my family, my son, my girlfriend. I think those were the first two I was thinking about. And obviously, my mother and father. Also have a brother and sister, so all those went to my mind at that time.
How old is your son?
He's 2 years and 3 months now.
Oh, man. And tell me about the rest of your family. What do they do? You're an electrician.
Yeah, I'm an electrician.
Do you support them?
Basically, yes, now, yeah. My mother's not working at the moment. My father is on pension. So just me, I'm basically the only one working in the house right now.
Sure. Tough situation. Thinking about your two-year-old son, your girlfriend, your parents lying down there. And obviously also going through your mind would be your friends that were on site with you, your colleagues.
Yes, because I only saw the one colleague and I knew the other three of them, they were on the first floor. So I knew if this building collapsed entirely, then the chance of people making it was already difficult, especially with us.
Sure.
So what about them in the first floor? Yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss. Have you spoken to their families?
I spoke, yeah. Yes, I spoke to a colleague with me, the one who was with me. I spoke to his brother and I spoke to his son last week. Mm. And so it was a bit difficult and stuff.
Of course. Of course it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pointless at this stage to speculate, but you must be talking amongst yourselves and asking questions, like the obvious question, what happened?
Yes, everybody, yeah, that question is on everybody's mind, like what happened, what really happened, because a building can't just collapse like that. I mean, it took about 3 seconds to collapse, so we don't really know what happened, but hopefully we're going to find out what caused the accident or what caused that disaster.
From where we're sitting, it looks like the emergency services really and truly came through and are still trying their very best. Is that your opinion?
Yes. Yes, I believe so, yeah. Like, a lot of people want those guys to be quick, but they don't understand. Mm-mm. You can't really be quick in that circumstance, because if you make a mistake, somebody could die. So that's why those people are doing everything they can.
Did you speak to some of the emergency workers afterwards?
Yes, I spoke to a few of them on the phone recently. So, but it's difficult. I mean, just to be there, especially now, after all the days have gone, it's very difficult. It's getting more difficult for them.
Yeah, because they also don't know, and there are so many people unaccounted for at this stage. I think, if I'm not mistaken, more than 30.
Yeah.
The number went down now. It's still 19 people.
19.
Still
90
people. They are looking, yes. Mm-hmm. And they found one of my colleagues. They found one of my colleagues, I think, about 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah.
So they are still two missing.
Yeah. What a horrible tragedy, and I know that you support your whole family. Thank you for speaking to us. I'm so, so happy that you got to see your son, you got to see your girlfriend, your parents and everybody. And I just want to send you something small from the Good Morning Angels family here at Jacaranda FM. I'm going to send you 10,000 rand just to get the ball rolling and to support you and just for odds and ends. Really, honestly, thinking about you, thinking about your colleagues, their families, and even the emergency staff, it can't be an easy thing for them to do either.
No, at all. That's a really difficult situation to be in. I mean, to be on site for that amount of time, yes, it's very difficult. I can't even imagine.
Delvin, I'm glad that you were here, able to talk to us. Liefde vir jou familie daar so in Mosselbaai. En kyk na jouself en sterkte met wat voor lê, hoor.
Baie dankie. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
Liefde vir almal daar, ons dink aan julle. Cheers, Delvin, hoor.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Delvin Safe is there, one of the survivors, an electrician. He was on the third floor when that building collapsed. A day later, they did get him out. There are still people down there.
You're with your own family. Breakfast with Martin Besser.